Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
I'm Moshe Kasher.
And I'm Natasha Leggero.
And I'm burnt out, man. It's like...
Now we're just kind of like at that point of the pan where everybody is just trying to get back to work, but it's kind of impossible.
For me, first of all, I don't say pan because no one does. But also, it's not about the pandemic for me or the quarantine.
I don't like the core.
How about just say the full words?
All right.
No, I like the pan. It's cute. It's you. But that's not why I'm burnt out, Natasha.
Why are you burnt out? Oh, you've been very busy.
Nope. It's because today, when we're recording this, I don't know when it'll come out, but today is it's the Tuesday after the burn.
You went to virtual Burning Man.
And I'm always burnt. I'm always really wrecked and tired like that the whole week after the burn.
You are. So you're just feeling it anyway, even though you did the Zoom thing, which was really sad.
It was the same. Honestly, virtual Burning Man, real Burning Man, I couldn't tell the difference.
I came down here and Moshe had the TV on. He was with his brother who was outside and they were watching some fire dancers.
A live stream.
In like little boxes. Like it was like everyone who was doing it had a little Zoom. Were they doing it at home? They're fire dancing?
Yeah, I guess so. Or wherever they were live streaming from. And then they live streamed.
That sounds so dangerous.
I guess so. I hadn't thought about it. It was depressing. I'll tell you what. Not being able to go to Burning Man this year was a punctuated highlight on... Even though like... It would have been different if I decided to take the year off because I might have done that anyway, you know? Maybe not, but I might have.
Doubt it.
But the fact that it was not an option and it's this like ultimate bacchanalian like freedom fest for me, it punctuated how shackled I feel by our contemporary circumstances. I was very melancholy all weekend. And it was kind of sad too. It was pathetic because they had all these like virtual Burning Man, like VR things. And I kept like escaping to the basement. And I'll be like, I'll be back. And like thinking about logging on or logging on for 10 minutes and then like walking my avatar through a virtual Burning Man, like playa. And
you came back upstairs really kind of like
a little shell shocked. Like it was like simultaneously.
Like you had just eaten diarrhea or something. But you know what the good news is, Moshe?
What?
Not going to Burning Man gave you time to watch Karate Kids 1 through 3.
Well, that's not a fair characterization, Natasha. That's
every
not
time
true.
I go upstairs now, you're watching Karate Kid.
I watched,
one of them.
You're not
Ralph
being
Macchio in different stages of his career.
You're not being fair because okay. That's not what happened. I watched all of Cobra Kai. And then when I got to the end of Cobra Kai...
You wouldn't need to do a little research?
I wanted to go back a bit and get into the, you know, the world building and the mythology of how we got to Cobra Kai. Go back to a nostalgia. I guess there's been a lot of nostalgia, but I did. In one weekend, I watched Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3. Reviews, you ask? Karate Kid, a very good film. Holds up really well.
Is there any woman out there who has ever rewatched that movie?
I think that Karate Kid appealed to women as well as men because Ralph Macchio was a heartthrob.
He was okay.
Were you into him?
No.
You know, that's funny. There's a dancing scene in Karate Kid 2.
He seemed kind of dumb.
Well, that was his persona. I mean, I'm not saying the guy's smart. I'm just saying part of his actor or like character. Like, you know how you play like a drunken slut? Anyway, the funny part was Ralph Macchio. There's a scene in Karate Kid 2. They're in Okinawa, and the woman, his Okinawan love interest, is like, let's go to a dance club. And they get dressed up in like a sock hop, like 50s outfit, and they go dance. I'm like, why is this a part of this movie? And then Ralph Macchio starts dancing, and he's like really good at dancing, like in like a sock hop swing dance way. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I see. At this point in his career, Ralph Macchio had recorded Karate Kid 1. It was a huge hit. He had a little bit of like a Karate Kid dick to swing around. And he's like, uh-uh. In 2, we swing dance. Because the mach loves a foxtrot. And so he got his way.
Well, I'm glad you had time to do all that. I feel like I don't take time to myself to do things like that.
No, that's true.
Like, I'm just trying to make sure that there's not like food and like shit on the surfaces. of our house. Like, I feel like that takes up so much time.
Yeah, there is a lot of shit.
Because everyone's in the house all the time.
Right.
You know, there's like dogs and kids and...
There's kids?
Yeah.
Wait, what? You have another kid?
Well, you know, I'm just saying. Plural. People have kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have two kids.
What do you mean?
We potted with the family, so sometimes I'm in charge of two kids.
How do you fare when there's two children around?
Not good.
No?
No, I immediately put the TV on.
Uh-huh.
And then I like give them like a popsicle.
That doesn't sound that bad.
Well, it's certainly not what I would pay someone to do.
Well, you're not a baby. I guess you are. I guess you are a babysitter.
I guess if someone's doing it for free, that's probably what they do.
What's been going on with you?
You know, I'm afraid to say anything because you always say that I seem like I'm depressed on the podcast.
No, let's hear it. What do you got?
No, nothing really. I was just thinking today about people in the 60s, though, and like how they were kind of lucky because even though the world, like so many bad things were happening in the world, they were able to like feel good together because they didn't have like a constant reminder of how bad everything was at their hand.
What do you mean?
Like with the internet. Like every 5 seconds, we have a refresh of something terrible, like, you know, police killing people and climate change and COVID. And like, it's just like so readily available.
Oh, you're saying that the hippie, you're talking about the hippie movement in the 60s,
yes.
Right? The hippie movement was able to not get sucked into a constant
negative loop
because they didn't have the internet, so they could simultaneously be against the Vietnam War but also go to the woods and hacky sack or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And now I feel like
white people in the 60s, I guess.
Right. Maybe.
Right? I mean, yeah. Maybe that's it.
That'd
have been nice though to be a white 60s person. This seems like a good time.
But you're taking away from what I'm saying a little bit by I think that we're all getting sick from the updates.
No, for sure. For sure. I just don't think of the 60s as a classically good time for...
No, but I think that more was able to grow and ferment because your energy wasn't sucked by this like device.
Yeah, I do hear
so
that.
So you're able to create a movement like the civil rights movement or whatever it is.
But wait, isn't there a modern day civil rights movement happening right now? This seems like the most active the civil rights movement has been since the 60s, even with the internet. And they're using the internet to organize.
So did it feel, okay, well, I just feel very scared from the news.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, I feel like the wrong people are getting power and the wrong people are getting weapons and... I'm just scared now, and you know what I mean? All the time.
You're scared all the time?
Well,
good thing we're ahead of you. It sounds like what you need. You know what you need?
Are you not?
I mean, I am and I'm not. I punctuate my fear with moments of escape.
Let me just say we're months
six. Do you know what you need?
What?
It sounds like you need a virtual burn.
Maybe.
A little bit of an escape. Get out on that digital playa.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, I told you you wouldn't want to hear it.
No, I didn't want to hear it. I want to engage in these ideas with you.
Well, let's take a call.
You want to take a call? Let's do it.
Maybe someone else will agree with me.
That the 60s were a time of great peace and happiness
no.
in this world?
No, just that I feel like paralyzed by technology right now.
I do.
You can act like you don't know what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, I do know what you're talking about. No one doesn't feel that way. Everybody feels like shackled
by. I know,
but
I'm just saying it's a new thing.
Right.
It's a new thing. And now we're entering a new world post-COVID. And like everyone's and like schools are on the device and everything's virtual and like virtual Burning Man. Like, I don't know. I just think like we're going really far in like a new direction that isn't, I don't like.
I was thinking about what you're talking about the other day. Like, you know, because we're the generation that started without the internet and then got it, right? So the generation before us, they're not really with the internet as much as they don't get it. And the generation after us, it's like infused in their being, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there used to be these like kind of hacky jokes about cyberbullying. I don't know if you ever saw a comedian do a joke like this. It was like, I heard a lot of stuff like, you know, I heard a lot about cyberbullying. Well, I got a suggestion if you're being cyberbullied. turn off the fucking computer. You ever heard anything like that? And I always would say, I was at that time when I was starting comedy, would see a joke like that, because a lot of people had that kind of joke. I would be like, this guy is so old, he doesn't understand that like the internet and the world are kind of becoming fused. That online life and regular life are not a separate thing anymore. Well, now in the pandemic, I'm like, oh, they've actually become the same. Like, there is no offline. School is online. Burning Man is offline. Business is online. Like,
but online is also
the internet is like sucking,
mainlining you with like terror.
Totally. It's all those. It's the whole of life. Although I'll tell you this, I had another thought the other day. This guy retweeted something about, you know, how we've lost a year of our life. You know, he's like, I can't believe we've lost a full year of our life. And I took real umbrage with that idea, because I was like, I just think that's the wrong way to look at this. Like, we didn't lose a year of our life. This is what life is. Life is filled with these terrors and these difficulties and mayhem and positive and negative. That's what life is. Like, you know what I mean?
And then every time you look at your phone and you see an article that climate change is real and is happening now as we're living, that doesn't stress you out.
It stresses me out a lot.
But you're just like,
it stresses me out a lot. But
tossing your fire rings in the living room while your brother props up the camera. No, I know you weren't doing it. If I came down here and you were fire dancing, I would be really mad.
Let me tell you something. If I bet that those fire dancers are using that fire dancing time to find an escape from the endless cycle of terror that is the news and is our contemporary political moment. I'll tell you, that's what surfing is for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I don't think about when I'm surfing is the COVID-19 virus. Or I used to have stand up for that too. When I'd be on stage, I wouldn't think about that. I don't have that. I got podcasting. When I'm podcasting, I'm in a state of utter bliss, because I get to broadcast to the fans I love and record with the woman I love and the dogs I love and the producer I love. Well, I guess now's as fine a time as any to tell you, love you, producer lady, who doesn't want her name. Have you ever had your name dropped on here? It's Laura, you guys, and I love her.
All right, now do you want to take a call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Hey, Tosh.
Hey, Mosh.
You ever feel like you're mentally on edge, unstable, and ready to end it all?
Never!
Well, if you do feel that way, or even if you don't, and you just want to work on some little psychological tweaks, somebody to talk to, somebody to do an adjustment in these trying times, we suggest you go to
Talkspace. Change is constant, but in the quote, new normal, unquote, that is my favorite phrase of the pandemic.
No, it's a good one.
It feels like there's something new to grapple with every day, and that really is the truth.
No, it's true. It feels like the need for talking to a therapist has never been more acute or more easy. Imagine having a personalized, judgment-free support system available 24/7 for as little as $65 a week. That's very cheap to have a therapist, and you can talk to them all the time. You can even text with them.
Yes, Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy, and now Talkspace covers 40 million people for online therapy through their insurance or employer.
You can get 24/7 access to the support you need with Talkspace. You can message your therapist anytime and get responses 5 days a week. I mean, imagine if you were in the middle of a crisis and you didn't know what to do, and you could just text your therapist and they'd text you back.
Also, it's secure. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest encryption technology to keep your information safe.
I can't recommend this enough. I love the idea that they've made therapy not only more accessible to people financially, but more accessible to people just time-wise.
Talking about your problems really, really helps.
Especially with somebody who doesn't share them. That's the thing. it doesn't matter who you talk to sometimes, but a professional, it doesn't get better than that. So we have a special offer for you. If you go to Talkspace.com and download the Talkspace app and use the promo code HONEYMOON at checkout, you'll get $100 off your first month. That's $100 off your first month at Talkspace.com with the promo code HONEYMOON.
Match with your perfect therapist at Talkspace.com. That's $100 off your first month at Talkspace.com, promo code HONEYMOON. We're going to call
Sisala in Chicago. Sisala.
Sisala.
Hello.
Sisala?
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 Who said it right?
It's so close. It's Sisala.
Sisala. That's what I was saying.
That's what I said.
What did I say?
What's up?
Wait, what did I say?
You said Sisala.
Sisala. Ricola is what I'm thinking right now.
Do you have a nickname? Do people call you Sissy?
They don't. Unfortunately.
You want them to call you Sissy?
No, I actually don't want them to, but they could, but nah.
No, what is Sisala? What kind of name is it?
So it's Scandinavian, but I'm just not at all that. They were gonna name me Zissel, but thought better of it.
Zissel? Think you won the lottery, Sisala? You could have been a Zissel. Don't you hate that? Don't you hate when parents are like, we're gonna go exotic. And we're not going to stick in our own culture. We're going to just pluck one at random. What are you? What is your ethnic background?
Just total Jew.
Who named Sisala? Wait.
Sisala.
Sisala. It does sound Yiddish. Sisala.
There it is.
Oh, so your name is actually Sis, and the Allah is just a diminutive.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Of all the Jewishness, apparently, I'm just throwing this in here. Moshe, you had Shabbat dinner with my brother last year, with your brother, I guess.
Whoa. This is a little close for comfort there, Sisala. It's possible. I've had a lot of Shabbat dinners. It was with my brother and your brother?
Yeah, his name's Dov, also someone named Jess.
Dov mm-hmm. is a Jewish name, so it sounds like.
Yeah.
Is he your older brother?
He is.
Yeah, so it sounds like your parents really tapped out on the Judaism thing after Dove came around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also sounds like maybe it was a big dinner and Moshe doesn't remember him.
I'm sure. My brother said he probably won't remember, which is fine.
I love Dove. Yeah. Tell him, send my regards.
Okay, Sisala, what's going on with you? Why'd you call?
Okay. All right. So it starts 3 months ago. I meet this guy on Tinder. I'm going to call him Nico. He just moved out of his apartment.
Wait a minute. Can I stop you for a sec? You're going to call him Miko?
Yeah. It's a little bit convoluted.
No, I don't need you to give an accurate name, but I'm like, you had all day to think. You had all day to think of a nom de guerre for this guy, and you came up with Miko?
Well, it's like basically his name. It's just one letter switched around. So
oh, okay, cool. I wonder what his name is. I can't think of a name that sounds like Miko, but is a name.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay. Well, let her do her thing. Okay. She's got her reason.
So you're with Pico.
Yeah. He just got out of a relationship, and he's totally heartbroken, of course. Totally just absolutely did not want to break up. He moved into his new apartment with two of his friends. We're going to, Chris and Pete. Also, there's an upstairs neighbor who is a total hussid Zionist who we'll call Shmuel. I immediately have a crush on all of the roommates. Shmuel is a little young. Just start hanging out.
Hold on. So you went you found this person on Tinder. You went to his house. You got Miko, Chris, and Pete. And
Shmuel.
And Shmuel's upstairs. Okay, got it. And you wanna fuck Miko, Chris, and Pete, but not Shmuel.
Well, we all hang out on the stoop together. Okay. This just becomes our summer of just smoking, drinking, doing drugs, making out, dancing in our underwear / topless.
Are you guys like quarantined together? Is that the idea?
No, it's really bad. It's very bad.
Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Just to clarify the picture here. You're the only woman?
Yeah.
So you're the only woman and you're all topless.
You're kind of
making out with everybody. Is that right?
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. Well, did you ever, at any point, did you go like, why aren't there any other women here? Or,
I once brought my friend and she was there too. That happened at one point.
Let me guess. So, she didn't like the vibe.
Oh, no. We all made out. Yeah. No, it's just total debauchery this whole summer.
Wait, I have a question. Have you had sex with any of these guys?
Oh, we're getting there.
Nico, yeah. Nico's the main one because that's who I met. He's sort of he's the main guy. Unfortunately, he's completely in love with his ex.
Right.
And so doesn't actually, he's unavailable.
Got it.
So he doesn't, I find out that he doesn't actually like me soliciting his roommates often and making out with them often. He kind of wants to put a stop to that. His roommates don't agree. I don't agree. So we kind of have to stop, which is sad. That's as far as he knows about it. I still make out with his roommates, but he just doesn't know now.
Got it.
So right now we're on a bit of a hiatus, me and Nico, because, you know, obviously this whole thing is very confusing and slightly tense. But my question is, how can I keep everyone on the stoop together and happy? You know, making out casually, everyone's just topless, you know. Just want to keep it up.
Well, Sisla, is this a real question?
I'm serious. I really is. This is, yes. I know.
Okay.
Okay, so you want to keep it up. Like, what's, all right, let me ask you this. What's your dream scenario?
Good question.
Okay. I just want to...
And why is Shmuel involved?
Well, Shmuel, he's just on the stoop. He's a bit too young. I'm teaching him how to drive right now.
How old is Shmuel?
He's 23. He's quite young.
Okay, got it. How old is everybody else?
Everyone else is in their 30s. Everybody's kind of has a big fat crush on each other also. It's just, it's wow. very...
Except for Miko with you.
Nico, well, that's the problem. He's like sort of like very much... He said he doesn't remember this, but the first time we had sex, he just said, I love you a lot of times. So he's a little...
Okay, sorry.
Can she answer my question?
Yeah, I got off track. Natasha's question.
What's your dream scenario of the stoop?
Okay, the stoop dream scenario is that Nico is just somehow happy with me continuing to have a mildly sexual relationship with almost everyone in his apartment building, while he is happy to go on and actively try to get back with his ex, which he's doing. They see each other very often. Everybody keeps it sort of casual, but everybody's kind of fucking. That sounds great.
For how long would you like that to go on?
Indefinitely. Forever. I know. Yeah, it would be fun if that could just be a thing, as a friend apartment where I make out with everyone. Yeah.
Okay, I think I know what you need to do.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
I mean, I want to get a little deeper, but why don't you say what?
Well, you need to go to rehab. It seems like that's the obvious choice at this point. You need to go to drug rehab.
I know.
Yeah. But okay, yeah. Barring
what
that.
What kind of drugs do you guys do? What's the worst thing?
Shmuel grows mushrooms.
You know what's funny about cocaine? I was just talking about this the other day.
Just cocaine and Shmuel grows mushrooms.
That's Shmuel, the young Zionist grows mushrooms with an Israeli flag on top of them. You know, I was just talking about cocaine the other day. As a person that is sober, cocaine is frustrating because it's a drug that, for me, because I don't do it, never have, it's a drug that it always takes me a little bit of time with a person to figure out, like, what's up with this person? Oh, and then, like, a month in, I'm like, oh, they're on coke.
Oh, my God.
And then I just realized, like, what's...
Oh, go ahead.
Did you...
I think we just realized it at the same time.
That she's on cocaine.
Yes!
Yeah. That is what exactly...
How much cocaine are you on?
I'm on zero cocaine. I did drink a lot of coffee because I was very nervous, and somehow I thought drinking coffee would help that. That's stupid. I don't really drink or do drugs by myself why would that be fun?
Right.
So yeah, that's why I kind of go nuts at this stoop.
Wait, but so you're saying this is your regular personality?
Oh yeah.
What do you like on coke?
I don't need coke at all. It's really bad. I should not do it.
It's
bad. Yeah. I'm just like rocking back and forth and like just clenching my jaw. Yeah. It's
oh, so you talk less when you're on coke. Okay, interesting. Okay, so you want, what does this do for you? Yeah, let's get deeper. What is this? What is all making out with all these people and having all this party time? What does it do for you?
I sort of, this quarantine thing, is not new to me. I've kind of always been in quarantine. Well, for the past like 7 years, I guess. I just would like not go outside for months at a time. And I still do that here alone in Chicago. And so basically these dudes are like, hey, come hang out on the stoop. And I haven't been outside in like 4 days. And then suddenly like there's all these guys and they're like, we're just smoking and hanging. And like I go watch them play tennis and find I have like a social life, like people to hang out with. And like, you know, they like want to fuck me, which is always a treat. you know,
wait,
when
which,
people want to fuck you.
Oh, when people want to fuck you. Is it a it must be a treat for you to fuck them too. They must be feeling treated.
Why did you self-quarantine for 7 years?
I know what you mean,
but like, why are you just isolate? You don't like people, kind of?
Oh, no, it's just roiling mental illness, of course.
Got it.
Just very bad, yeah.
I see. You struggle with like isolation, depression kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. Got it.
I understand. And also, I feel like the friends that I've had like that, you do like, it's okay to stay in for like 5 days at a time or whatever.
Got it. I feel like I've got, okay, got it. I mean, your question is how do you keep this thing going and not have it become volatile and blow up? So I guess we should answer that in good faith. Although I will say that if you have roiling mental illness, as you described it, I would probably not recommend an extended period of ping-ponging between three roommates and doing cocaine and drugs all night, because those can kind of exacerbate the roil, right? I mean, that's not, I wouldn't say that's the greatest practice you could do.
No.
Right, but it does seem like you definitely need release. So if that's what's doing it for you right now, and I guess it's, you know, safe enough, and you feel like you're in control of it, but I just think it's nothing to think that is going to be a long term thing.
Yeah, I now have a handle on my suggestion.
It can't be, right?
I mean, that's exactly what Natasha's saying. These are the kinds of things that you should appreciate that they came into your life and not try to make permanent, because they are exciting while they last, but they will eventually become unhealthy. I mean, I can't say that it ever is healthy to do like a 3-month run of coke and stripping, but it felt magic.
On the stoops of Chicago.
On the stoops of Chicago. As the winter comes in, she's like shivering, shirtless, like, let's keep this party going, guys.
Right. The seasons are gonna help you out anyway. It's going to end in the winter.
I mean, but this feels kind of like this.
It's a summer of stooping. Yeah. It's COVID. It's a cool memory.
Yeah,
you know?
This summer felt a little magical to you. Is that what you're feeling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't try to hold on to magic like that. Let it live its natural cycle. Let it die, and then you'll go back to, you know, figuring out what's best for you. But you can't make something that's this wild last forever, because it's not meant to last forever. Miko Nico is going to go find love again. You'll maybe end up with Chris or Paul or Shmuel or someone else. These things will run their natural course. Like, I'll tell you what's a bad look. Speaking of Burning Man, you weren't here for this. What's a bad look? What I have noticed, because I've been going to Burning Man now for 20 years, and I know a lot of people who have become lifers in the Burning Man world, and they plan all year long to do Burning Man. They sometimes they'll work for Burning Man. They'll be out there for 4 months, and then they'll go trim weed for 4 months, and then their lives become this cycle of, I go to Burning Man for 4 months, I come home, I work a transient job for a month until I can get up to trim weed, and then I'll do that for 4 months, and I'll come home and I'll work. And that's like super, I've watched people go through the cycle. That cycle is super fun and exciting for those people through their 20s, their early 30s, and then they start hitting their late 30s and it starts to become debilitating. And they start to, the lifestyle starts to catch up with them. And then all of a sudden they get into their 40s and they look at themselves and they say, oh, I need to like stop doing this. But then they have to look back in the rearview mirror of their lives and say, oh, the last decade has just been me doing one party after another. And now I want to clean it up and move forward. But I've like kind of set fire to the move forward years of my life. So I think trying to cling on to the party, partying is good. Clinging on to a party that has a natural life cycle, I think that's destructive.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tosh?
I think Moshe said it in a great, clear way. And I think she's going to listen to you. And the winter's going to come.
Winter is coming. Winter is coming.
It is. Yeah. All right. It was a pipe dream. Okay.
Winter is coming, and Chris, Miko, and Paul will stop coming.
But in the meantime... you know, it's not really fair. Maybe Miko is catching feelings for you, because if he doesn't want you fucking his roommates anymore or kissing them or rubbing up against them, I don't know what you guys do, but make out.
You're right.
I mean, she's already lying to him by making out behind his back. So, you know, that's you're going to get caught eventually. So maybe that guy you're making out with, maybe you need to like disappear for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it sounds
that's
to me.
That's what I'm currently doing. Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
And then
now,
stay like 5 days longer away than you were planning.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you actually like Miko. You wish he liked you back in the way you want him to. And so you're kind of making out with Chris and Paul to have some fun and feel alive and maybe triangulate a little jealousy, which has worked. And now Miko wants you to stop. It sounds to me, honestly, not like what you need to figure out is how to keep doing coke with three random weirdos. It sounds like you need to figure out how to have a conversation with Miko about how you feel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we have to go.
We do have to go now.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Sisala,
okay.
We love you.
Bye, Sisala.
Goodbye. Okay,
Sisala. Bye. Sisala.
Sisala. Sisala.
Yeah,
Sisala.
Okay. Bye, honey.
Farewell.
I'm glad we talked through that because I thought that was fake in the middle of the call. Because I was like, what is she talking about?
It had a lot of like buzzing vibration of like insecurity and performance. And then when you got into it, it's like, oh, this is a real human experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sisala.
You gave great advice.
Well, thanks. You too. I love that question. What is your best case scenario here? I thought that was good.
Yeah, it's good play to think about
tape.
That.
That's what they say sometimes. Play the tape.
Yeah.
Play the tape all the way out. How does this possibly
Because sometimes
end?
Half the things you're doing, you probably want to be doing.
Right. In the moment, you want to do it. I mean, listen, a summer of coke and like hooking up with three people sounds fun.
Especially if you're like always home by yourself and
right.
like not wanting to go out and see people. And then all of a sudden there's like a whole group of guys who want to have sex with you on a stoop.
I did find myself wondering about Shmuel's interaction with this. Why did he come into play? I guess he's just doing coke with them and twirling his payas and eating mushrooms or whatever. Sisala, when you're ready, I'm upstairs waiting for you. Teach me to drive.
Let's do some secrets because that was a long call.
Let's do it.
Hey, Moshe and Natasha. So my secret is that back when I was 19 and living with my parents, our dog had insane storm anxiety. So eventually they got him some doggy Xanax. And we tried it on him a few times and it would never kick in time for it to calm him down. And I was also dealing with a lot of anxiety and depression at the time. So every time there was a thunderstorm after we found that it didn't work, I would stow away a Xanax and tell them that I gave it to him, but I would just keep it in my stash and take them as needed. It really came in handy during the 2016 election. I've had a lot of anxiety during the results coming in, and then I popped one and I passed out on the couch, and then I rolled into class the next morning looking super hungover. And my teacher just assumed that I was very upset, which I was, but I was just kind of coming down from Xanax. I used to steal my dog Xanax. All right, thank you guys. I love how supportive you guys are and how you don't take any bullshit from people and tell them exactly what they need to hear. It's really awesome. Bye.
Sweet. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Doggy Xanax?
Well, I've been thinking about the election coming up, and I've been thinking about like getting way off grid in my RV, like driving into the woods, letting the election happen, and then driving back into civilization, just checking my phone to see who's the president. Although the idea that someone's going to be...
you're kind of thinking of doing that.
Yeah, but now this guy's like... This guy's advice.
He just passes out.
Yeah, he just takes some drugs and pass out. I'm going to go to Chicago, catch up with Sisala, Chris, Nico... And Shmuley and do coke all night and ignore the...
By the way, I bet that girl said their names because she kind of wants them to hear it.
I know. Like the idea of like concealing a man's name by saying Miko and being like, well, it is one letter different. Can you guess? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, well, I can guess. Unless his name's Chico and he's a tough from the west side of the Lower East Side in 1940. Yeah, we know his name.
Is it okay to, I was unclear how young that guy was.
He was regular. When college.
So he was saying he was rolling into college on dog Xanax?
Yeah, Danax.
I wonder if that's strong or...
Weak? I bet it's weak. We have a controlled substance with old Cutie over here. One of the medications she takes, they can't just sell it to us. We have to like go in.
Wait, I just thought of something.
We got dog opiates.
You're annoying. Oh, she's on opiates? That's why she's so happy.
Yeah.
We shoot her with that opiate.
No, that's not the opiate. The opiate is one of the pills she takes.
Oh, the codone?
Yeah, the hydrocodone.
Whoa.
Yeah, oxycodone, hydrocodone.
We have to be careful with that.
Hey, if anybody, by the way, if that last caller needs to get his hands on some hydros, give us a buzz.
Wait, can we give doggy Xanax to your annoying dog, Pablo, who barks all day?
I wouldn't say giving a non-prescribed medication to a dog with a heart murmur is a good idea. Should we play another secret?
Sure.
Hi, my name is Gail, and my secret is that ever since preschool, well, there was this kid in my preschool class, and he had a buzz cut, but I just thought he was bald. And it always made my stomach hurt whenever I looked at him because, I don't know, it just really grossed me out. So now, like, I can't eat with, like, a bald person in view. So, like, a couple days ago, I was at Panda Express and there was a bald guy who walked in and I couldn't finish my meal. I was done. So, my secret, I'm disgusted by bald people. Okay, bye.
Moshe, you're lucky you have a head of hair.
I have more than a head of hair. I can't believe we haven't discussed our outfits tonight yet, but Natasha and I are wearing next to nothing. Tosh said, let's do casual look, so I decided to. I would describe that as a deep cut. You know what I mean? I mean, being bald is a deep cut too, but that's pretty specific. I love people. They're so varied and weird.
I don't have anything that makes me truly gag.
Oh, really? You don't, huh?
Smells.
Yeah, you need fresh air and good smells. I don't like vomit, but that's so regular. I mean, no one likes vomit. But vomit will really make me... But yeah, there's nothing... I can't think of anything... I'll tell you, want to hear a quick story?
Sure.
One of my classics? Once upon a time, I was a sign language interpreter. And I was interpreting over webcams at the time. So the person, you'll click connect, and then you'll just be a person in front of you. All of a sudden, the person that's trying to make a call, and it's like a webcam on their face. And the person that popped up had no nose. No nose. Like, no nose. Not like had a scar, like had a hole. And it was almost impossible to continue working. It was so intense and so sad, but I was also like just viscerally disturbed. I was like, it was really, really
difficult.
You gotta
really dig inside yourself sometimes.
You gotta dig in. But some people don't. Some people are really...
Well, that's why smells are bad, because it's like sometimes they can just like make you throw up immediately. It's like, I can't dig into myself. Maybe I could to not... vomit at like the smell of like a certain sewage smell.
I don't mind a sewage smell. I mean, I don't like it, but vomit is my worst. That's my pee pee is not good. Poo poo is not good, but vomit will take me to that next level.
Okay, let's cleanse our palate with one more secret.
One more secret. Hopefully it's a sweet smelling one.
Hi. My secret feels really creepy to me, but maybe it's normal. So I feel really lucky. I can have an orgasm in a minute. but it's all in my mind. I mean, I touch myself too, but I have to be thinking about something. And for years, I had very specific things I would think about that would give me an orgasm. All pretty much sex in public. But recently, it has shifted, and I think it's because I really want to be a mom. So now to have an orgasm, I have to think about the man that I'm with saying, damn, I want to get you pregnant. or like actually him getting me pregnant. And it feels really creepy that that's what gives me an orgasm. So anyways, love you guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Very, very open and personal.
That's what the Secrets Hotline is for. These people are getting stuff off their chest. I was a little confused by the Cartman voice. Right? That I was like, could it really be that you really think, damn, I want to get you pregnant or whatever. Cheesy poofs or whatever. I don't know how to do it. But then I was like, that's a pretty wholesome fantasy. Don't you think?
did not sound like Cartman, but that was jarring.
Yes, it's like, I want to get you with a sling blade.
Cartman would be more like, I want to get you pregnant.
That's right. That's what that, yeah, that's a cart. That's the cart. That's the Cartman. That's a pretty wholesome, a wholesome thing. But that's so, that she gets to the orgasmic mountaintop by thinking about her husband impregnating her.
I love it.
Huh. But God bless you for whatever makes gets you there. Hey, Tosh.
Hey, Mosh.
Do you think I smell good?
Always.
Do you know why I smell good?
Because you use an aluminium-free deodorant?
That's right. I use an aluminium-free deodorant. It's not just free of aluminium. Native deodorant, which is the deodorant that I use and cannot recommend enough, is made from all kinds of great ingredients like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch. It's vegan and never tested on animals.
With over 10 scents, including rotating seasonals, Native has something for everyone. Their most popular classic scents are coconut and vanilla, lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, citrus and herbal. What's your favorite, Mosh?
It's cucumber mint, but I'm thinking I might want to try this coconut vanilla. Native works really well. It keeps me from stanking, and a lot of these natural deodorants I've tried don't. So I'm going to go coconut and vanilla next time. By the way, speaking of aluminium, did you know how aluminium works? It forms a plug in your sweat glands to keep you from sweating. That's gnarly.
Ew.
That's why it's great that Native does not use it.
So do what we did and make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/honeymoon or use promo code honeymoon at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/honeymoon or use promo code honeymoon at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping in the U.S. and there are free 30 days returns and exchanges. So, like she said, go to nativedeo.com/honeymoon, promo code honeymoon at checkout. 20% off. Tosh.
Yeah.
Do you want to do another call?
Yes, please.
We're going to call
Abby in Portland, Oregon.
Hello.
Abby?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh my gosh. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm nervous, but good. How are you?
Well, let's get through that. We're good. We're fine. We're also a little nervous to talk to you, to be honest.
Oh, are you? How come?
Yeah, we're just big fans, honestly.
Oh, my God.
Abby. Portland Abby. We always talk about Portland Abby, don't we?
What do you do in Portland, Abby?
Like for work or just in general?
Both.
In general, whatever.
You know, fight police brutality and, you know, smoke weed and, you know, just all the Portland things.
Wait, and you say you're from Portland, eh? Hey, at least you got your priorities in order. You said fight police brutality first and then smoke weed second. Very good.
Exactly.
Have you been at the protests?
I have, yeah.
What are they like on the ground, Abby?
Man, I'm telling you, you see the news and you see all the things, but being right there and seeing community and seeing the truth and the raw realness of it, it is fucking wild.
Cool.
Wild meaning beautiful, wild meaning scary. What?
Everything, right?
All of it.
That's so cool because I started this podcast telling Mosh that I'm so sad because, like, I feel like now there's no movement anymore because we're all so addicted to our phones, but maybe there is a movement and I'm just too old to be out on the front lines. Well, I have a kid. Like, I'm not going to go in COVID.
I would sacrifice my kid. I would put her in a wheelbarrow.
And I don't even have a babysitter.
I would put our kid in a wheelbarrow, bring her to the front lines of the worst skirmishes in Portland, and leave her there with a responsible adult and come back at the end of the protest and be like, how's my child? All right,
you
Abby.
You have to get one of those cat backpacks.
That's a good idea.
But
actually,
wait.
That's a very funny idea to put a kid in like a boy in the bubble thing, like one of those hamster rollers,
exactly.
And just like wheel her into a protest and then wheel
it's
her out.
It's COVID safe.
You got a question?
I hate that idea. Oh, here's a good question. One question before we get into her question.
Yes.
Do you see a lot of kids at the rallies?
You know, I've seen a couple. I feel the same way as I feel about animals. I get it. It's just not a place for that type of stuff. because you never know what's going to happen.
Got it.
I think it's irresponsible.
Responsible parents bring their kids to Burning Man, not to the protests in Portland. Okay, Abby, why did you call us?
So I'm calling because I have been in a committed relationship for 4 years now. We got engaged last year, and I think at the ripe age of 24, I'm coming to the light of my sexuality. I'm like 99.9% sure that I'm gay, and I'm in a relationship with a man. And, you know, I want to stay with him. I love him. I'm attracted to him. All the normal things. But he's insecure about the issue, and he is nervous about me going about figuring this out because my feelings could change, but I don't think that they're going to. And I want to continue being with him, but I just don't know. And he allows me to explore and be with others and figure out how I identify. And I think he's more insecure about his end than being supportive about my feelings of figuring out my own sexuality. And so, I have concerns about if I'm going to ever feel my true self being with a man if I am gay, or, you know, like there's just so much to it to figure out. I'm just so lost.
So what are you trying to figure out with us right now? Like, is it
mostly just like easing his insecurities and kind of coaching him through.
Why do you have to ease his insecurities? Why is that her job?
I don't want him to think that I'm going to leave him, because if I was, there would be clear signs. You know, like he would know.
You said you're 99% sure you're gay or that you're not gay?
That I am gay.
Okay, hold on. You're 24. We're not. So can you guide us through what is the, when you say I'm 99% sure I'm gay, but I'm with a man and I'm attracted to him and happy being with him, what is the part of yourself that you're trying to figure out? What does it mean that you're saying you're gay and not saying I'm bi or pansexual? Can you just explain what that identity marker means for you?
I just, every time I look at a man or try to feel any type of emotional or sexual attraction, it literally disgusts me. Like, I don't want to be a part of any of it.
But you said you're attracted to the man that you're with.
Yeah, and that might be just because I'm already in love with him and those feelings have been there, or if I'm just clinging on to that because that's security and I don't.
Let me point one thing out to you. I'm no queer studies major. But I will say that I don't think being gay means when you look at a man, you're disgusted.
I think that's
different. That's different. That's something else is going
that's
on.
That's just being a woman.
Like maybe. I'm just saying being a gay woman.
Well, maybe
being
she's
a gay
feeling
woman,
a little bit right now like that.
That's what I'm getting.
I'm in the beginning stages of it. And so I think that I am going about it the way as in like, oh, I need to figure this out, so I'm going to extreme.
Sure, I hear that. I'm just saying like being gay, I don't know. I would love for our actual gay listeners and who are experts who have been comfortable in their sexual skin for more time to correct me if I'm wrong here. But I think like being a gay woman probably means when I look at a woman, I am attracted. Not when I look at a man, I'm not attracted. Those feel different. One feels maybe more, I don't know, emotional or given the contemporary, like Natasha said, political moment. But like, why would your boyfriend not feel insecure if you're saying, you're not saying, I think I like women too. You're saying, I think I might be, I'm 99% sure I'm gay. I recoil in disgust when I look at men and I'm at the beginning of my journey of figuring it out. Like, I could see being insecure. That feels like a reasonable response, going, oh, you're going to figure yourself out and not want to be with me anymore, right? Am I wrong, Tosh?
Absolutely.
No. Here's what's happening. This is like her like young relationship. It's probably run its course, but she's still in love with him. They're still best friends, and there's never a good time to do a bad thing. And so you just kind of have to like cut him off for a while and go on your journey and not discuss it with him, because that's like depressing for him.
But she's not saying she wants to cut him off. She should. Right. Why do you want to be with him? Still, if you're in a
It
process,
sounds like you're just addicted to the feeling of having that comfort.
Right. I buy that.
so here's the thing. He is a cis male, but he is very feminine. And he is not like a normal man that you meet. I check out women more than he does.
So he's not like a big, tough, butch alpha male like me.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Gotcha. I mean, do you see yourself with this man in 5 years?
Yeah.
What about in 10 years?
Absolutely. I plan to lie in the same grave as him.
So you want to have like a poly relationship with him?
So that's the thing is, like, we have kind of dabbled in being an open relationship. And my thing is like, he allows me to do that and I allow him to do that. Of course, there's a lot of things that go with that that's very complicated. But what's kind of stumping me is that, like, with my self-identity and who I am as a person, am I ever going to feel like my true self if I am gay, if I am still with a man? Like, what are other people going to think? Am I going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm gay, but just this one?
Do you want to fuck women?
Fuck women?
Do you want to?
100%. 110%.
And do you want to be monogamous?
I don't, but being in an open relationship can get really messy really quickly. So it's a fine line.
Aren't you currently in an open relationship? Didn't you say that your partner allows you to explore your sexuality?
Yes, 100%.
So you're allowed to go hook up with women?
Yes.
So you are in an open relationship.
But when you get into the relationship type of stuff, that's when it gets messy.
So you're allowed to hook up with people but not date other people?
I can do both. But it's more
you're basically at that stage of an open relationship that I always make fun of.
Yeah. I never got a whole
thing. Where you're so you're like getting ready and you're going on a date with that girl and what are you guys doing? And like, oh wait, you're home at like 1:30 and like, now you're putting on cologne, I guess. And I don't know.
I'm more insecure about it than he is.
Well, here's what my gut is telling me, and I could be wrong because I do think to some degree there's a generational thing.
I totally hear that. I'm just saying, like, I can't wrap my mind around that aspect of it. Like, I get wanting to like fuck other people and having like a cool little affair, but like then all of a sudden, like as soon as one person catches like the smallest bit of feelings or crush, it's got to take a toll on your relationship for the worse.
Sure. I mean, I hear that.
And I can't, the way I am, I don't think I could like fuck people and not like start catching feelings because I'm like, wait, why would I be spending my time with this person if I don't like think they're really cool?
But what if you could?
Well, I just haven't ever been able to.
But what if one partner in the relationship could?
That's good.
They should do that.
No, but both people need to feel the same way.
But if you're in a partnership where one person could definitely do that, sorry, Abby. What were we talking about again? Here's what I think. I think, like, to some degree, this is a generational thing. Like, this identity, I've heard it before from callers, like, the identity, like, I need to figure out what my identity is. Who am I? Am I gay? I'm pretty sure I am gay. It's like, it's this desire to identify yourself as what I am and what I am not. But unfortunately, it seems like, given your circumstances, the answers to that question are not going to come to you as easily as somebody that was single and trying to figure this out. Does that make sense? Like, if you were a woman who had dated men mostly, but was currently single and was going, I feel like I might be gay, and I'm going to start dating women to figure that out. That's a very simple journey. I mean, not simple. I mean, it's not easy, but it's clear what to do. But you're saying, I think I'm gay, but I have this hiccup, which is that I'm in love with this man and really don't want to go anywhere. Well, what if you stopped the process of trying to figure out whether or not your identity is gay and you just told your partner, my identity is I'm attracted to you, I'm with you, I have these rules, and I'm figuring out who else I'm attracted to. But like, maybe here's my grand point. Maybe what's causing this person's insecurity is not that you might be attracted to women or even only attracted to women other than him. Maybe it's that you keep trying to process with him whether or not you're gay. That's the part that's probably figuring, that's probably bringing up the insecurity, not your actual sexuality, but you, this constant process of saying, I think I'm gay. Because to most people, if a woman says to me, I'm pretty sure I'm gay, what I'm hearing is, I'm pretty sure I am not attracted to men. And I'm going, but I'm a man. And then I'm going, maybe I can't trust that she really is attracted to me. But sexuality is messy, and it's not clear, and it doesn't follow clear boundary lines. So maybe the secret to lessening his insecurity is for you to stop involving him in your journey of self-discovery and just have him be your lover, the person that you love, and you figure out whether or not you're gay on your own time.
Absolutely. I mean, you're never wrong, Moshe, so I mean...
I love the sound of that. Like music to my ears.
He is good. You guys are lucky you just get to call in and ask him questions. I mean, me too, but that was good advice.
I get Moshe's advice, and then I get your laugh, Natasha, so everything works out great.
Beautiful.
Okay, well, good luck, and thanks for making me feel old. And
well, we're 99.9% sure that we're old.
There's still that 1%, though. There's still that 1%.
Oh, yeah, it's very
important.
And we are the 1%. As they say at the rallies in Portland, we're the 99%. Sorry. I fucked up. All right, listen, Abby, we got to go.
Okay, bye, Abby.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Good luck out there.
Bye.
I just really do think that it's like it's a generational thing of like, I need to figure out who I am, what are my pronouns, what is my identity, and it's like, it's not even good or bad. It's like, it's something that feels like a different, almost a different language to me.
But then how do we teach that to our kids since that's not our generation? Because they're going to be picking up on it more than,
right,
than that generation.
I think our job as parents is to not give our kid any baggage in any direction. Not to indoctrinate our kid in any direction.
Isn't Judaism baggage?
Yeah, you're probably right. Can we wrap this podcast up?
Okay. Well, this has been a great podcast.
It has been.
And I'm going to now go check on my child.
It's always a pleasure. You know why?
Why?
Because I love you.
I love you too.